Let me welcome back to the program our business roundtable experts, Dan Stoller with Sterion Bank, Chad Flanagan with Ide Bailey, Tyler Levington with the Onsted Twitchell Law Firm, and Tom McDougall of High Point Networks. Gentlemen, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Good morning.
Thanks, Scott.
So, Tom, I'm going to start with you because we're going to talk about growth today. There's growth, and then there's something that we're experiencing at Flag Family Media, chaotic growth. But you've been there, done that, and you know, I guess we talk about two ways to grow or expand your company. Organically, through the people you already have, the infrastructure you already have, increasing locations, recruitment, personnel, or buying a competitor, buying a company in another market, going after human capital that already exists, gain new business, expand the footprint or capacity there. As I say, you've been there, done that. What can you tell us about which of those two is better than the other?
Boy, I don't know if I can tell you which one is better than the other. I can tell you that they both work or they can both be horrible. I'll focus today on acquisition. There's a couple of ways that people do acquire companies. We've seen some success from people that just go out to, they want to expand to, let's say they wanted to expand to, Rapid City, and they don't really know anybody, so they just look for companies that are similar in their space and hope to be able to buy something that they can change to match their what they do for business. Seen that work. There's some examples of that in town. I've seen people use brokers to try and do the same thing. We haven't done that either, but I've seen that work a little bit for people. The way we've done it is we tend to look for, we look to an area, let's say, let's use Cheyenne, Wyoming as an example, because it's not someplace where we're at today, but there's some worthy competition there. And so what we do is we look for those people who are super successful in those areas, and we just start conversations. And the question is, you know, could we be better together? Is there some way that that what you're doing is similar to what we're doing, and the two together can, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 type of a situation, or 2 + 2 = 5, or however you want to look at that. Is there a reason for someone to make a change in how their ownership structure looks, and would it look better under High Point Networks? Then once we get past that conversation, the more important things are, let's talk about the people. Is there a culture fit? Is there, you know, are we dealing with people who fit what we do, or are we dealing with a bunch of mavericks, for example? What about people and positions? Do we have a bunch of overlap? Those are all of the things that we go through when we look at acquisition side expansion. And of course, we could talk, internal growth expansion as well, but I think we'll do that at a different time. But that's what we look for when we're looking at acquisition. And of course, once we get to that, then I go to everybody else on the phone and start dealing with valuations and legal things. And of course, there's always banking involved. And so I'll let the other experts fill in the blanks with the rest of it.
And I'm going to jump next to Chad to talk a little bit about the accounting side. But before we do that, through that process, in the case of High Points Networks, High Point Networks, what did you learn? What did you come away from that? I mean, how was the second one better than the first one, and the third better than the second?
That's a great question. The first one was chaos because we didn't really know what we were doing, and it wasn't. It was successful, but not. You know, it was marginally successful, I think. We didn't know how to vet the people properly. We didn't really know a whole lot about the accounting side of things. We were trying to be mavericks, and, you know, we were smarter than everybody else. We didn't use the experts as well as we should have on our first one, and we learned our lesson. On the second one, we really knew a lot more about the people side of things, so we focused very heavily on the people side of things. We wanted to make sure that what we were buying was going to stay together, because there was no reason to spend, you know, 7 digits to expand and then have everybody walk away. So we spent an inordinate amount of time on the people. On the third one, it was probably even more successful, quicker, I guess would be a better way to say, the best way to say that. I don't know. But let's just say it that way. That one was a slow roll over a period of about 18 months that the owner and I spent a lot of time together just getting to know each other. We knew our people were going to be taken care of. He knew his people were going to be taken care of. And when the day came, it was just like handing over. It was almost like a marriage where the the people getting married and their parents have all gotten to know each other super well, and it was a very comfortable handoff. So I think we're getting better at it. It just takes time.
I like that example. Chad, let's go to you. And the reason I asked that is the first one might go a little bumpy. It shouldn't scare you from doing the second. And by the third, you're really good at it. Then all of a sudden, you're four, five, six into those deals, and the growth is really transformational for your company. Chad, from the accounting side, where should the process start? When your client is thinking about an acquisition as a growth strategy, when that deal's ready to be done, maybe before they do it, from the financial side, what do you want to know and when from your client?
Yeah, Scott, I think, with any deal you want to look at, a lot of the terms of the deal, which can include the tax structuring. So, so much of the deal is focused on price, but terms of a deal can be so important too. So how you structure a purchase price allocation, or whether it's an asset deal or stock deal, can make a big difference. And then we want to really look at and do our due diligence, financial and tax due diligence. I think Tyler will talk about legal due diligence as well, but we want to get in, understand that target, to understand normalized revenue, normalized earnings, and look at things like working capital and areas of risk. And so, having the proper team working on due diligence is such an important thing. And then one other thing Tom mentioned, I think, which is critical, is just culture fit. We know some of these deals can look good on paper, but gelling with the team, do they have the same vision? Do they have the same talent pool? Do they have the same desire for growth? Very critical in evaluating a target.
I'm going to start with you, Tyler. We'll probably have to finish on the other side of the break, but Tyler Leverington from Onstead Twitchell here. Let's talk a little bit about, again, exactly what he's talking about. What do you want business to know from the legal side of things? What do they need to think about going into these?
Yeah, I think as soon as you're considering it, as soon as you've identified an acquisition target or somebody that you want to partner with, get your lawyers on board right away, because the due diligence period is absolutely critical. That's where you really get to know the inside of this company that you might be buying. And whether it's the accounting or the banking side, your lawyers need to set up a structure that's going to make the other side comfortable opening their books, opening their doors, so you can really get a good idea of what's going on in there.
Tom McDougal from High Point Networks, Tyler Leverington with Onstead Twitchell, and Chad Flanagan from Hyde Bailey. We've heard from so far. Still to come, Dan Stoller from Starium Bank, and more of our Business Roundtable, acquisitions, growth, what to think about when you're owning and running a company. Continuing, meanwhile, it's our Business Roundtable. We do this once a month, the Better Business Roundtable. This is meant to be a resource for folks in business, bringing these incredible experts together in one place. Once a month to answer questions about things that every business is dealing with. Do you grow? Do you stay the same? Do you expand? Do you? And if you have questions for any of them, I'd first of all, consider them great resources to call on. Dan Stoller at Starium Bank, Chad Flanagan at Ike Bailey, Tyler Leverington from Onstead Twitchell, a law firm, and Tom McDougal, High Point Networks, with us today on the program on this topic. But any topic related to this or anything else for the pros, certainly welcome at 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550. All right, Dan, let's get to you. Tyler, did we finish? Did we get everything in you want to talk about? Do you have an example maybe of from the legal side of things, what you suggested playing out well, or what you always hope for but doesn't always happen, how you have to come in later? Anything in the way of examples you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a topic I could talk about all day if you'd let me. I think one of the biggest mistakes folks make, especially small businesses or businesses who are involved in one of their first acquisitions, a lot of times they wait a little bit too long to get some of the professional advisors involved. I've seen it play out where somebody comes to me and they say, "Hey, we got this great opportunity. We're going to buy a company. Here's the terms of the deal. Go ahead and put the paperwork together and let me know when it's ready to sign." And I kind of have to pump the brakes and say, whoa, let's talk about this a little bit. And they say, "Yep, nope, we've had dinner with the other owners 10 times and we talked about everything. It's a great fit. We know it's going to be wonderful." And I kind of get them to slow down a little bit and we start talking and realize that maybe they don't know quite as many of the intricate details of the acquisition target as they would like to. And we kind of put things on hold and do a due diligence period. And after actually digging into it, realizing that while on paper, on the surface, the acquisition target seems like a good fit and they do a lot of the same things, they must have a lot of the same customers, it turns out that 80% of their customers or 80% of their revenue comes from just one or two customers. And all of a sudden, this acquisition is a big risk. Because while the company is worth what we're paying for it, if just one or two customers leave, the company they're buying is worth almost nothing. But had we not dug into due diligence and then built some protections into the agreement, that would have been a huge risk that they didn't even know they were taking. So it's critical that we get the professionals involved early, make sure we know everything we need to know, and then we can protect you and get a deal done.
I'm guessing Dan has some examples of this as well from the banking side. But when I hear Tyler talking, I'm looking in the mirror and saying, been there, done that, because you get so enamored in the idea of this is a perfect fit, and you almost are just, you're sold, and you're not doing the things you know you should do to have the person ask you the right questions because the train's left the station, and boy, talk about a way to avoid pitfalls. Dan, how about that? Somebody comes in and says, look, I know this is bankable, I know you can do it, write it up. Are you going, whoa, pump the brakes like Tyler is, or how do you handle it from starting financial side?
Yeah, great question, Scott, and I agree with what's been said so far. You know, we like to get involved really early on. If somebody that we're working with truly has a growth mindset, we like to sit down and say, okay, what are you trying to accomplish through acquisition? Are you trying to acquire talent? Are you trying to acquire new markets? Are you trying to acquire a product? Let's start talking about your growth plans before you even start talking about a target. You know, let's understand and truly put some parameters around how you want to grow. And the reason we like to get involved in is we might be able to give you some suggestions on how you might end up structuring a deal, what size of a transaction you might be able to handle, what your sustainable growth is. If you're looking to acquire without additional capital, you know, how much can you truly afford to borrow and how much capital do you need? So we can help on the front end really establish some parameters. And then I think the key, and this is what Tyler's talking about, you know, stick to those parameters. Once you start looking, you start talking to other business owners about a possible merger or acquisition, you get enamored pretty quickly, and you can get overzealous and get to the point where you say, hey, we're so far down the road, let's just do this deal. And you need some folks internally and externally to stop you and say, whoa, wait a second here. This acquisition doesn't fit the parameters that you originally described. Are you sure it's the right acquisition for you? And so I think it's important on the front end to really determine what you're trying to accomplish, because what I've seen from a pitfall perspective is growth for the sake of growth isn't always successful. The bigger necessarily doesn't mean more profit, doesn't necessarily mean life is going to be better. So we find, let's stop and really look at what that acquisition is going to bring to the table at the end of the day, and is it going to accomplish your original goals when you set out in this growth mindset?
So I have to ask, Tom McDoon, owner of High Point Networks, you know, these pitfalls we talk of, the what-ifs that, you know, both Chad, Dan, and Tyler, for all three for that matter, have said, boy, this is what can happen. Are you having any flashbacks? I mean, have you lived any of this? What do you see as some of the things you'd like other people to make sure they avoid when it comes to some of these pitfalls if you don't do what they're suggesting?
Yeah, I was having convulsions there for a little bit when a couple of them were talking. But
that's two of us, but I hear you.
I think from a banking side, one of the biggest surprises that we weren't really prepared for very well at all on the first run, the acquisition itself was pretty easy to understand and handle. But what we didn't see coming, what kind of blindsided us just a little bit, was the need for more operating line of credit. Because with more sales comes more accounts receivable, and I don't think we really calculated that or quite understood that quite as well on that first run. So that was a little bit of a pitfall. The people side is, I think most people understand that if you're going after a market just for names and customers and to have a shingle there, that's one thing. But if you're going after a business hoping to sustain that, you know, Tyler hit on a huge thing there. We had looked at a target one time where about 90% of their business was all one customer, and we couldn't even guarantee that the account manager for that particular customer was going to stay around. So it became pretty invaluable. It became of not much value to us at that point. So that's a couple. Another one that you run into quite a bit is when you're, especially if you're looking to grow by acquiring a well-functioning company, is you have to ask yourself the question going in, are you willing to take on more partners? Because sometimes the people who, you know, let's say you're the larger company, you're looking to acquire a smaller company. Sometimes the reason that the principals want to sell is because they want to become part of a larger entity. And you have to have that decided in your mind going in as well, if that's a possibility or not. And we've changed strategies on that over the years as well. So they're just things that you don't really think about early, but once you get into it, if you were to have the conversation with your attorney or your valuation folks or whatever early, you can avoid, like Tyler said, you could avoid running into that later and getting hammered.
All the pitfalls, yep. So if we've done nothing today, we've suggested, I think, something that's very, very important. Have a good team in place. Help with your planning. Have them work together for you. Start that conversation first. Then you got everybody on the same page. They complement each other. Tom McDougall, owner of High Point Networks. Chad Flanagan, a partner in charge at Bailey's Fargo office. Dan Stoller, market president for Starion Bank. And Tyler Leverington, shareholder, business and corporate law attorney at Onstead Twitchell. Thank you, guys. See you next month.